Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
All right, welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now. My name is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com. We have several people on the line to start the show tonight. We have Nemesis. We have Matt Hankins from Team All You Can Eat. We have Larry Goodman from GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. And we have Ron Gossett from Universal Championship Wrestling. How's everybody doing?
Great. Doing
well. What's happening, everybody? How everybody doing today?
How you
doing?
How are you back
here? Yeah, I'm hurting over here, man.
I know you are.
We'll start with talking about last weekend's UCW shows. Ron, you guys ran Thursday at Hiram High School, Friday at the North Atlanta Trade Center, and Saturday at the Inspiring Kids Academy. I was there Thursday and Saturday, and Larry was there Friday. So between all of us, we covered all three of those shows.
Yes, thank you very much, you guys, coming out reporting on that. I appreciate you guys coming out so much.
You're welcome.
I guess, Ron, what were your thoughts on those shows? It was your first. You're going to do those North Atlanta Trade Center and Inspiring Kids Academy shows once a month, and then the high school was kind of a one-off thing, I think. But what were your thoughts? How did you think those shows went?
I thought the shows went good. We got some good footage. We had some great talent. We could have drew better on a couple of those shows, but the last show on Saturday, Inspiring Kids Academy, is a show that we signed a contract with a Christian academy, and we're supposed to do those shows the last Saturday of every month. It was a little difficult, and it's what you'd call a paid show, or it's really not what I would call a paid show. But what I mean by that is traditionally in that, you know, they pay you, you come out, you put on an event, we get some footage we need, and they are all responsible for promoting it. I don't think they really knew what they were up against on promoting. They felt they knew how to promote a wrestling event, but they've never done it before. It kind of kept us out of the loop. Hopefully, going forward, they'll let us do what we can do and help them so they can have bigger crowds, because, you know, otherwise I don't see how they're going to make a profit and raise money for the school that way.
Right. Well, it seemed like it was, it had its glitches, I guess, but for a first-time show, I thought it ran fairly well. Saw a lot of the same guys there that I saw on Thursday, and then some new faces like the Congolese Nightmare and AJ Steele, who was not there on Thursday, so you mix it up a little bit.
Right.
And then I wasn't
Friday
there.
Friday ran great. It was on the tail end of the Motorcycle Expo show. We got some good footage. Still, again, it really wasn't the crowd, a UCW crowd or a public crowd. It was more of a vendor or trade show crowd. So hopefully going forward, they'll have more time to promote it. Thursday did great, which was kind of surprising for a Thursday night. But once again, when you go to a school and you get the schools involved, it's kind of, it goes without saying, you're going to get a lot of the people that go to school there and some of their faculty involved. We used their head football coach, so it turned out to be a good night.
Right. Well, Larry, what did you think about Friday's show? I read your report.
I thought, you know, the report pretty much summed up my thoughts. I thought the wrestling was good. The quality of the talent was good, and I enjoyed the show, and it was evident that the people that were there enjoyed the show. My question only really related to which Ron addressed that night was that the people that were there weren't really the UCW crowd, nor the crowd that he would hope to, you know, necessarily see coming back when he starts the regular TV tapings next month. But it didn't seem like there was much about that show that sort of led into the next show. The thing at the end between Hot Like Live and Rock and Roll Express, which was very well done. I thought very, very entertaining. I was kind of wondering, Ron, could you talk a little bit about how you see the TV, you know, aspect of UCW playing out going forward?
Well, hopefully, you know, we can still utilize more than just the North Atlanta Trade Center as a TV taping venue, and hopefully we can still get some of the matches from these other events on to the TV. But again, as we try to battle with lighting and how it's going to look in post-production, as hard as we tried, even at the North Atlanta Trade Center, as you know, as you've seen, it looked okay, but when I look back at it, there's some more we need to do with lighting, and it still needs to be a lot more lit up, and for it to be the quality product we're talking about. Otherwise, it's just not going to look exactly what we want. And so when we unveil it, I think we learned a lot this week, that's for sure. But it turned out, as much money as we spent on lighting and those things for Friday night, our footage looked better from Thursday night, you know? So that's, you know, something I'm battling. We're trying to get it right. So we look really good, as like I said.
From talking with Patrick Glory, who's with Southland TV, with Southland Productions at the Friday Night Show, he thought that the footage may lead more towards, you know, YouTube posting and a DVD release, and maybe not necessarily be, you know, TV footage. Is that the way you're looking at it?
Well, that's not how we entered into it. But once again, what's good about it is as long as you've got the film and you got it in the can, you can do something with it. Now, maybe we can make it a highlight reel and intros and outros and stuff as we're using television. But you know yourself, Larry, if you want to have a good product that sponsors are going to want to be on, it's going to have to be well lit and it can't be dark at all. So what hurts me the most is for us to spend that kind of money and pull off a triple shot of shows and us not have the lighting down. So I really, really going into February, we just need to make sure that the lighting is great. I think we learned a lot from the high school. So at Sprayberry High School, it'll be well lit. And the Trade Center, we've talked to them, and they're lighting people. So I really think it'll look a lot different and a lot brighter for this next event. Because like I said, I don't even want to run a show if we can't get TV off of the show, because to me, it's just a loss in profit, you know, really, because if I can't use it going forward and it was just for that night, that's not enough. So we've got everybody in place to do it, and our goal is for each one of these shows for us to be able to come out with at least, you know, 3 to 4 matches a show to do a television product.
How do you plan to market the television product? How is that going to, you know, get out there to the public?
Well, we obviously will want to use Charter and Comcast in Metro Atlanta, and then we go to different markets. We're going to be up against it a little bit because, you know, we'll be seen in the Charlotte area if we're on CSS Sports South. However, that may end up being a Time Warner cable provider. So we're going to have to spend some money trying to route people to our channel. And that's going to come with using local cable providers like CSS, Sports South, Time Warner, or whoever it may be, and run commercials over Raw or SmackDown or TNA telling them when UCW is going to be coming on. I think there's a lot of folks that use Sports South before, but no one ever really ran commercials on other products to say, hey, we're here on Saturday or Tuesday or what have you. So we're going to have to spend money. We can't just expect people to figure it out by looking at our site alone or something else. We're going to have to go to something that people are watching and advertise on it.
Yeah, my recollection from when Deep South was on CSS is that was, you know, that was some fairly expensive television time they had to buy there.
It's pretty expensive. It's not as bad as Fox Sports Net or something like Versus or something like that. But what you will get is what you have to remember as you go up in quality of these networks and how far out they reach, instead of it being a regional network and it being a national network, if they sell you the whole hour or at least 58 minutes of that hour, Larry, we feel like we can go out and sell commercials that will help pay for the TV, and we have a good, viable product. Once again, as long as the lighting and everything looks good and it looks like it needs to, that we can make a profit off of television.
Okay.
Ron, you mentioned the Sprayberry High School show coming up. When is that show?
That's February 18th.
Okay. And then the shows this past weekend, you had a mix of established names from WWE and TNA and places like that, such as Dave Taylor, Buff Bagwell, a lot of other people, Micah Taylor, and then you had some upper level local and regional indie guys like Chase Stevens and Johnny Swinger, who's also been in WWE and TNA, I think, and Lodi, and you know, you had a good mix of people. Who do you have scheduled for these shows in February?
Well, I tell you, you'll see a lot of those same guys as we try to keep that mix just like that, kind of grassroots, and we try to draw in some of the fans that remember watching WCW and some of that cult-type following that like the indie guys and the ECW brand. So we're trying to be that mix, a little tradition, obviously, a little old school in that manner, but we want to show you the up-and-coming guys. So we're going to keep that same formula. It seems to work. And it's hard not to bring some of those guys back. All of them were so good. It's kind of a test run to see, you know, can you hang with the big boys? And again, on the top indie guys, you're kind of like, you know, who's the best? Well, everybody brought their A game. I'll be frankly honest with you. I didn't see a lot of slipping. And so it's hard to tell that guy he can't be on the next show when he brought everything he had. And I told them, the only thing I really told them all was, I think everybody needs to understand now why you need to be in the gym. You won't want to be on our shows and be just a weekend warrior and do a triple shot because you're going to get hurt. I mean, this happens anyway. It's a contact sport just like football. And if you're going to be a professional, you need to be in shape, keep in shape. You can't just put on the gear anymore and just come out and do a casual show because Buff, you know, almost got hurt. It wasn't about being in shape or not. But the truth is, it's a mistake. And, you know, Adrian Hawkins took a beating on Saturday. And these guys need to understand, if you're going to do three shows in a row, and let's just say we pick it up and we're doing those weekly or biweekly, that's a lot of bumps. So you need to be in shape, and that's ring shape, and that's totally different than just being looking like a Greek god, you know what I mean? So we're going to keep the same formula. We got Big Papa Pump going to be on two of our cards, added to Buff and Mike Knox and those guys again, so...
All right, we have Buff Bagwell on the line now. How you doing, Buff?
What's going on, guys?
What's up, buddy?
How you doing?
Good.
Great.
How are you? All right, well, I saw you.
Boy, y'all get quiet. Boy, get quiet in the mug on the phone. What up, though, Buff?
You took a funny bump on Thursday, which I guess took you out of the other two shows over the weekend. Oh, I guess we lost him. Never mind. So, Larry, did you have any other things you wanted to ask Bron?
Yeah, I was curious. I know that Rodney Mack was, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, John, you had him on the radio show. Is that right?
I interviewed him for Wrestling with Pop Culture. We had Buff Bagwell on the radio show last week.
I stand corrected, I know he did he make the Sunday show, Ron, or no? Are you planning on using
The Saturday show? And I tell you what, here's what I know is, you know, like you said, he came on with Jonathan, did some great stuff. I've worked with him for years, and his wife, never had a problem, never an issue. They've driven all over America for me. Let me just lay it down like that. Send him deposit, just like always, because, you know, the guy needs money. He's driving from Louisiana, for Pete's sake. But when it came time, I never heard from him, couldn't reach him, still hadn't heard from him. Let's just hope everything's fine with him. It's odd for him, and our relationship really isn't that way. I've had volatile guys on my show. That's just what makes it draw sometimes. But never had any problems. I hadn't been able to reach him or Jazz, so hopefully everything's okay.
Mm. One other thing I wanted to ask is that, you know, just looking back over the weekend, what do you think you did best? What are you the happiest about? And other than the lighting, what do you think UCW really needs to, you know, improve on as you move forward with television and more shows?
I tell you what I really need, Larry, is just as we staff up, we're getting more staff that helps. You know, it was a one-man show for all these years. Just can't grow that way, and it can't be television that way. So I'm just trying to get a lot of guys from the business that are helping, and it's a team effort anymore. It isn't the Ron Gossett show. It's our team show, you know. So as we grow, we got to have guys in certain positions. As Joni Hamilton helps me a ton and helping me set up matches with him and Lodi, and I've got to continue to do that. And we need to promote, and when we even have paid shows, I really don't want our product to be out there just on a paid show, and I really don't want to be part of a paid show if they're not going to promote it properly. I think we need to help people and not just take the payoff. We need to be included whether they want us to or not. That just ensures their success and our success. We don't want to take a payoff and be there for 100 fans. That's just not our style. That's not what we're about. So we're trying to draw more. So the best thing we can do is just keep being consistent, keep keeping it fresh so the fans will keep coming back. I don't want to become one of those places where if it's a triple shot, you've seen it on Thursday, then you don't have to go on Friday or Saturday because it's going to be the same show. It'll never be that way with us.
I understand the guy who I don't know his name, who bought the show for Sunday. Really, he had some financial trouble there. For Saturday, that he did have some trouble there financially because of people not being able to draw and so forth. But he does.
Well, I feel like that, and it's a little odd, Larry. He had Kroger and he had Sam set up as sponsors to some degree, and I say he did that because that's what he told us, and they were on the banners. But when we get to go sit in Sam's and Kroger, that kind of makes it obviously a fact that they're part of it. But come day of the show, he did fulfill his contractual obligation to us by paying. Okay, he did. But it just wasn't timely. It wasn't before the show like it had said. And, a lot of guys said, were you going to go back? Well, now that he came through, I'm on the other end. I have to produce a show for him going in. So hopefully he'll let me help him and get it all straight and so he doesn't lose money. But once again, if you take on these promotions and shows yourself and you wait to the last minute and there's plenty of people out there to help you do it and you don't take advantage of it, you're going to lose a ton of money. And everybody that's on the phone here knows that this costs a lot of money. It's not, you can spend as much as you possibly want to and still be broke. And so if you want to do it, there's a way to do it and there's a way not to. And hopefully we can get it straight with them.
Last question.
Back on the line too, Larry, if you wanted to ask him any questions.
If I understood you right, then Joe Hamilton and Lodi are sort of on the team as far as helping with the putting the shows together?
Yes, they are. And, back to the Aspiring Kids Academy thing, Larry, not only did I go out of my way, Buff really, took up with the Bishop Ashlock there to try to help them and almost be like a cheerleader and say, listen, you just need to do this, this, and this. But, again, you need to get Ron Gossett involved and maybe you can still save this and, and get some more people to the show. But it kind of fell on deaf ears. But it was really a team effort. It wasn't for our lack of trying that they didn't get people to the show. It's just they were kind of a little bit too late.
Buff, did you have any thoughts on the shows that you were part of over the weekend?
Yeah, what Ronnie said is actually exactly the truth. Man, I saw it unraveling for the Bishop, and God, he's a great guy, and his wife's great, and they were really, doing a good job, but we just knew they wasn't quite doing. I think they just thought everybody was going to come, and just me and Ronnie were talking about that today. That just don't happen, paid show or not. You've got to, you can't just build the field and they'll come. You got to sell some tickets. And me and Ronnie beat the doors down for 2 weeks up in Hiram, and we had 400 people show, paid in just 2 weeks, which is, I think, really good. And we had, I want somebody to tell me that we didn't put on the absolute best independent show I've ever seen in my life. I challenge somebody to come out and tell me that that was not in Hiram the best independent show from looks to the card to matches to finishes that I've ever seen. And I've done this 23 years, bro. And I'm telling you, it was phenomenal. And that was the real plus side to it. But to see the weekend come down to a really nice couple that really just didn't quite cross their T's and dot their I's with the fans, it was a little depressing. But Thursday and Friday, I thought were victories, and just the Saturday thing just kind of slipped through the guys' fingers. And like I said, we're not looking to get a paid show. I'd rather have been three shows we had to go out and hustle and bustle, because then it'd been on our hands. The blood would have been on our hands. I'd much rather be the holding the ball than somebody holding the ball telling me they did a good job. And you know, then we got us to blame, and in that case, we couldn't blame nobody. And really, it was just, it's kind of like a bad match. They don't go, if Rick Steiner and Buff Bagwell have a bad match, they don't go, man, Rick messed that match up. They go, that was a bad match. Well, same thing with the wrestling card. They don't go, man, the Bishop and them didn't sell their tickets. They go, that was a bad independent show. So we all take a lick from that, which is bad. But at the same time, they're a great school. I hope we can do future things with them because they're great people. But at the same time, I think they all learned a lesson on that one.
All right, cool. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming on. I don't know if anybody else has any questions about the UCW shows, or if you guys have anything else you want to say about them.
We just want to encourage everybody to come out, because, again, this is just something we're trying to bring to all the fans, and we just want to bring them the best wrestling we can, from guys that are right here local to guys that are all from all over the country, and from different companies, TNA and WWE and the top independents. And that's what we plan to bring them, just a little bit of our flavor on it, with some of that great talent. So hopefully everybody will come out and know that, you know, that's what we're trying to bring, is something good and a good product for them here.
And you've got
Jonathan,
I'm sorry.
I got a question, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Honest to goodness, I mean, what, on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being the best independent show you ever saw, where do you rank our show that you saw in Hiram, and be honest with me?
Hiram, I will say, was a superior show to the Inspiring Kids Academy show. Not that
right.
The other one was bad, but you had excellent matches. The crowd was good, I thought. You guys
me
may
too.
Have
I thought, man.
What's that?
Yeah, I really thought the crowd was really good. I was excited about that.
Yeah. I thought you had, like I was saying, I think before you came on, it was a good mix of well-known people as well as some pretty well-known indie guys from the region and from local and regional shows. The only thing I would say was, and this is just because it's the first show you guys have done in a while and the first one you've done since you're doing these TV tapings and stuff, is that it was hard to get a read on what the motivations were for different feuds or different angles and stuff like that, especially after, you know, it was like Adrian Hawkins was kind of a heel on Thursday, and then Saturday he was more of a face. So it kind of was confusing for anyone who's following all the shows. But, you know,
I think his direct question is, how did it compare across the board to the other independents?
From 1 to 10, on the scale of 1 to 10, that's what he has. That's what I'm waiting on, 1 to 10.
Yeah, it's great, and we know all those things. But, you know, at the end of the day, we want to be number one. And I want to tell you right now that I don't spend all the money, and I don't bust my butt like I do, and I don't bring in all these talent like I do and book these venues like I do, strive for TV like I do to be number two. And I just want to know, because you guys are not only the fans, but you are the way we, you know, are portrayed to the fans, so we want to know, and we value your input, and that's just where we're at.
All right. Well, if you just wanted a number, I'd give it an 8.
All right. Thanks, Jonathan. I appreciate that.
Thanks,
now
I'm
gonna find you. I'm gonna find you and beat you up now.
I'd give the Norcross show like a 6, but only for the same, not because the matches were really good, but just for the same reason that Jonathan said, in terms of stories and motivations for why people were doing what they were doing, it was a little
well,
bit.
Right.
Let me speak on that for a second. Let me speak on that from being on the other end, and please understand that I have never said the word "I'm main event" in my life. I say I'm last, I'm next to last, I'm three from the last. I don't say semi-main, main event, but let me explain something about a main event guy. Main event guys, when they go to these independent shows, a lot of times the promoter is trying to tell a story. And when you try to tell a story on an independent show sometimes, you're going to get a bad reaction from the crowd trying to tell a story. It's 8 Nitro, brother, where you're drawing a 6.1 rating. This is a show we're trying to get kicked off, and you're caught in the middle of telling a story or the fans leaving happy. And under the fans leaving happy, I really think it was a 10 because you got to be careful with if you beat Buff last because the fans are going to leave. And they're going to go, gosh, Buff got beat. So, so many times I can't tell you guys that brought me in that had a good independent group that had me lose, and I guess my will, but of course I did it for them because I'm business, but I said, guys, if you beat me, it's going to hurt you, man. They're going to leave booing, and everybody's going to leave unhappy. So there's a little bit of a catch-22 there of this ain't a Nitro. We are trying to get going a little bit, so you kind of get caught in the middle of telling a storyline or everybody leaving happy and getting their money's worth and coming out of the gate after everybody be happy and get their money's worth, just to kind of explain ourselves a little bit.
Right. I have to
say
that
once we get the Trade Center going and we can establish it and start building the fans and they're there every month, Larry, and they can come back and start following that storyline there, then hopefully we can keep, you know, that going there. But on the spot shows, then we get back into like what Buff was saying, and I'm sure you know about heels and faces and one shots and fans leaving happy, and it kind of gets back real old school there. So yeah, it is a little bit tough and confusing for someone like you guys that are at all three and smart to the business versus just the layman, you know?
Right. Well, guys, we got to move on to our next guest, but I did want to say that the Hiram show, I think the match of the night was the Johnny Swinger and Chase Stevens match where they fought out into the audience and threw chairs and all that stuff. I think that was the one that the crowd reacted to the most. And
may I say as the promoter, that scared me to death, and I don't want to get a lawsuit, so I'm going to tell you what my match of the night is. My match of the night is really, to be honest with you, Adrian Hawkins and John Schuyler.
Yeah, that one was good, too. And I've seen those guys wrestle before at other promotions, and they always put on a good show.
I tell you.
They really tore it up, man. They had a great match.
I tell you, thank goodness Buff is okay, and he'll be at the next shows along with Scotty Steiner. So we want everybody to come out to Sprayberry High School. That's Buff's High School on the 18th. And him tagging with Scotty Steiner against Luke Gallows and Mike Knox should be a great, great match.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, before we let you go, Ron, you guys did a bunch of appearances, like you mentioned, at Kroger's and places like that. And you were signing autographs and selling tickets. Are you going to be doing any of those? Do you have any of those scheduled yet for these upcoming shows?
We don't have anything scheduled, but I'm sure we will. Once again, we're going to be doing some things a little bit different in the Gwinnett area. And, you know, that is a very high end population Latino and Hispanic market right there in Norcross and Gwinnett, so we're going to kind of cater to them a little bit on the next show, as well as having Big Papa Pump and Buff. And then Sprayberry, the school has a lot of stuff going on that they're going to help us with the promotion.
All right. Well, we will definitely talk about those some more closer to those shows as they come up in February. But again, I want to thank you guys for calling. And
thank you.
Thanks for having us.
We have our next guest, I believe, is on the line, which is Brian Lawler. Is that you?
Yes, it is.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Jonathan, how are you doing tonight, man?
Doing pretty good. So you have a match this Saturday, and you will be part of the, I don't know what promotion it is, but it's a Boy Scout fundraiser?
Yes, it's a fundraiser to benefit the Boy Scouts of America here in the Cherokee Cobb area. Just to help them build a little more money up so they can go do some of their little trips, you know, earn merit badges and stuff like that. So it takes a little pressure off the parents, scout leaders and stuff, you know, and it helps us give back to the fans.
Right. And it looks like a pretty good card with a lot of guys that we've had on the show before. I think the main event is Chip Day taking on the Platinum Championship Wrestling champion Mason. And then you got several other big matches, but I understand this will be your last match. Is that right?
At this time, yeah, it's definitely going to be my last match for a while. I might come back to a spot show once in a blue moon, maybe do some refereeing, a little announcing, but actually being in the ring on a regular basis, it's, you know, I've got to take time. I had a broken leg about mid-year last year. I never really got over that and got some other things going on. Got two young kids, and I want to spend more time with them, too.
Okay. Well, I don't know if Nemesis or Larry Goodman, have you guys ever seen Brian on shows over the years?
Unfortunately, I don't think I have.
Yeah, me
okay. Well, Brian, why don't you tell us a little bit about your history and, you know, who are some of your better matches and things like that?
And I started off in UCW's Ultimate Christian Wrestling at the time. The promoter was a good friend of mine, a guy I went to high school with, Rob Adonis. He's the guy that actually trained me to wrestle 4 years with them all over the Southeast. We've gone from Florida to Virginia, Alabama, all over the place, and done other promotions. Some of the best matches I ever had were with Nightmare Ted Allen. You know, he pretty much taught me a lot in a very short time that I had the pleasure of being around the man or in the ring with him. He taught me a lot, not so much about the business itself as how you conduct yourself in the business. So you're not going out there looking like an idiot, or you're not going out there and getting hurt or hurting somebody. But Ted Allen, Colt Derringer, I wrestled him a lot. One of the greatest guys I've ever been in the ring with. Glacier,
yeah.
WCW Glacier, Ray Lloyd. Real good friend of mine. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have even gotten into the wrestling business. But every match he and I ever had were solid, great matches.
Yeah, well, he's actually calling in later on the show, so if you want to stay on and say hi, you're welcome to.
All right, I sure will.
But so the Ted Allen show is the following weekend. Are you going to, I'm guessing you'll at least be there, right?
Yeah, I'm planning on attending. I'm not really planning on doing anything, really, other than being a fan myself, because a lot of the guys that are booked on the show are guys I grew up watching. You know, I've come to know while in the business. A lot of young guys, a lot of great talent's going to be there, you know. And I want to sit in the stands like every other fan and enjoy it instead of worrying about how my match is going to be or what number match I've got or something like that. You know, I want to be the one to sit back and go, yeah, I like this now.
Right. So who is your opponent this Saturday?
I'm not sure. I'm hoping it's actually going to be Billy Knight. Billy Knight and I have known each other almost 10 years. You know, we've had some great matches, and we've tagged together. We've been opponents against one another. With Billy Knight, I can expect a great match. Yeah. Bar none, some of the best matches.
That's from the guy that does Universal Independent Pro Wrestling, right?
Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know. Does anyone else have questions for Brian Lawler?
Brian, did you wrestle some of those shows up in the Canton area at the school there as well?
Yes, I've done UCW shows here, some shows PWE, the show that usually runs out at Buffington, NGWA, and one of the guys on that show.
I think I remember you now, bro, for real. You know, I'm getting my brain cells back, but I think I remember you now. You said NWGA, I think I remember you now. That was back in my young days, I think. Because I'm sitting up here. You did PWE, too?
I worked on PWE, yes.
Yeah, I think I may. It may come back. I'm going to pull out some tape.
Okay, please do. I mean, you can actually go to YouTube and just type in Prince Brian Lawler. And you'll see several matches. There's, you know, they're not exactly the greatest matches. They're not bad. You know,
if you get in that ring and you entertain the crowd and you doing what you need to be doing, bro, you doing your thing, man. You doing your thing.
Yeah.
So,
that's one of the things I've always tried to do, whether I'm the heel or the baby face. I always want to make sure that the fans know when I leave that ring that it was a good match, even if I don't have to do anything. But you know. Tell someone to sit down and shut their mouth being a heel, or, hey, you know, I need your help here. I involve the crowd. That's the one thing that that was drilled into me from Glacier, Rob Adonis, beautiful Bruce Biggins, Colt Derringer, Outlaw Todd Zane, Nightmare Ted Allen, all the old school guys. You know, when I'm still green, they said, you make sure you involve that crowd. It doesn't matter what you do, you make sure you involve them, but do it in the right way.
Yeah.
I believe it was at one of those Buffington shows where you started to announce that, you know, you were thinking about maybe stepping away from the ring, and you had some community activities you wanted to get into. Can you talk a little about those?
Yeah, there's an organization that just recently started up here in Georgia. It's called Rad Kids. And what the organization does is that they teach kids how to avoid being abducted, molested, and bullied. You know, you teach kids how to get away from that, how to avoid that. And we teach parents, you know, you've got to tell your kids, if somebody touches you, it's okay to tell me. You can't hide it. Due to the little incident, well, it's not a little incident, the incident here in Canton with Jorge Rivera, a little Hispanic girl that was abducted, sexually assaulted, murdered. And that really set me off because, you know, she was 7 years old. My daughter's five. You know, my daughter will run up to anybody. You know, she doesn't know what a stranger is yet. And that hit home. You know, and that could have been my daughter, could have been my son. You know, I went to the candlelight vigil for the little girl. I met the parents. I had a little talk with them about it and told them, you know, I'm going to do what I can to make sure this never happens again. I'm sorry I couldn't do it for your daughter, but your other kids, if it takes me being taken out of this world to protect them, I'm going to do it.
I was in the crowd that night when you made the announcement, and the wound was still very fresh at that time. And I just wanted to commend you on having the guts to be in the middle of a wrestling show and, you know, to discuss that, because, you know, that community and a lot of smaller communities around Georgia, we're all a part of, and we know how it is. Something like that goes on. It's a terrible wound, but it took a lot of guts to stand up and address it. And, you know, to make a stance like you did to say, hey, I'm going to stop doing this thing that I love because there's something else that needs my attention, something else I think I can bring my energy to and do as well as I've done in the ring. So that was a brave step you took. I just wanted to commend you for that.
Thank you very much. And I grew up here in Canton. I've been here 40 years, you know, born and raised in this community. You know, when I was in high school, somebody would bring a knife to school is one thing. Now you're hearing about kids with guns. You're hearing more about kids being abducted, you know, attacked in certain ways, and it's time for it to stop, you know, not just here in Canton, but all over the U.S., all over the world. And I want to do, you know, maybe it's just one little part to help stop it, but I want to be that one little part to help stop what's going on, because our kids need our protection. These kids' parents.
And that's all it takes is just one spark, man, and you might be the spark that's just started all around the world, you know what I mean? So, you know what I'm saying? I commend you for all that, bro, for real.
All right, thank you. And believe me, guys, it was real hard to step out of being Prince Brian Lawler. It was real hard to stand there and tell them who I am, what I do, what I'm about, what I'm becoming. And that was probably one of the hardest things I have ever done since I stepped into a wrestling ring. You know, all through high school, I was a shy kid. I wouldn't stand up in front of a crowd and say a word. You might tell a joke or something like that to a few friends, but that was it. But for me to walk in there with a mindset, as soon as I walked in the building, I'm doing it tonight. And I asked for Mike from Kevin Hensley and told Gene I needed to make an announcement. Gene really didn't even know that I was going to retire that night. But you know, it was on my heart the whole time. It had been on my heart since it happened, because I spent 3 days looking for a little girl that no one was ever going to see alive again. You know, like I said, I've got a five-year-old. It tore my heart up to know that little girl was in a trash compactor, and I walked by it twice. Didn't even think of looking in there. I had to do something then. I couldn't sit back and watch my community go down the tubes anymore than it already is.
Well, I guess if anything's going to take you away from wrestling, then definitely can't complain that that's what you're going to be doing.
Nah. I would do it not only for my kids, but any kids. You know, I work for a county government here. And I'm around thousands of kids from January 1st to December 31st every year.
And you like what you say? Well, you work with kids. Yeah, that's good, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I don't work personally with that many kids on a daily basis, but I'm getting ball fields ready for them. You know, whether it be softball, football, lacrosse, you know, everything. But I make sure when I leave that it's 100% safe and ready for those kids to be on that field. I won't leave until it's at that point. Because every child deserves a chance to grow up, play in any kind of sport they want, and enjoy their life without worrying about some weirdo wanting to steal them away from their parents.
So when is when is the next show you're going to be on? I don't mean to change the subject, but what's the next show you're going to be on?
I'm going to be on I'm not exactly sure the promotion name of the show, but it's going to be at Buffton on this Saturday. Starts at 6:30, and it's a benefit for the Boy Scouts of America.
Do you have a Facebook or any kind of information that when you find out, you can put it out there so we can get it out there to the rest of the world?
You know, just type in Brian Harrison on Facebook. That's my real name. It'll pop up. You'll see a picture of me with the long hair and my then partner, Dirty Dick Dutton, as the NGWA World Tag Team Champions.
Okay.
Yeah, there is a Facebook invitation that I received. I think it came from LN Promotions, which is the group that Terry Lawler works with, and
right.
Ox, the guy that does the rings, Ox is involved too. So if you're friends with them on Facebook, you'll probably get the invitation, or you can find it on their pages or whatever.
Right.
Is there any relations between you and Terry Lawler?
Just real good friends. I mean, in the business, you know, we've always said we were cousins. I mean, we're more like brothers because not so much the Lawler name as it is the close camaraderie. You know, I could call on Terry at any time, say, Terry, I need you for a show. You know, it may not pay much, but Terry will be there. If he can't be there, he's going to send me somebody that he knows will be good.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Brian, I appreciate you calling. And
I thank you for
I said, Glacier is supposed to call in. If you want to stay on and be part of that, you're welcome to, since you have some history with him. But,
a lot of history.
Well, we'll wait for him to call in, but we usually recap shows and talk about upcoming shows and all that, but we kind of started tonight off with just got right into interviewing people. But I don't know, what do we have to talk about? Where did you go this weekend? Tell us about Anarchy, Nemesis.
I was in
Goodman.
Anarchy for them.
Oh, you were
first
all in Anarchy.
Yeah, we were all in Anarchy.
Yeah, so let's talk about Anarchy. What happened there? I saw that the tag team titles changed hands. And we had Monday on last week.
Jeff
so.
G. Bailey.
I'm gonna let Matt go ahead and explain the Anarchy night, because I don't remember nothing after the...
It got real cloudy for you real fast, my friend.
You got shellacked there, didn't you?
Yeah.
I was always glad it's my first time seeing Nemesis in a few weeks. Comes out charged up. You know, he's beasting up like he always does. Taking up a shadow. You know, they jumped Shadow a couple weeks ago when he wasn't in the building. You know, he's got the man. He calls the ambassadors out. But I'm going to tell you, Nemesis, you call out them Alabama boys, you got to watch your back, son. You know that. And they caught you with one, my friend. They caught you with one. Larry, is there a technical name for that move they did other than just mass destruction?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's a shellacking. I mean, they just... you're talking about that big finishing move they use. Yeah, they do have a name for it, and I'm forgetting it off the top of my head. It's pretty, as unfortunately Nemesis found out, it's pretty devastating.
Yeah,
a power bomb by one man into a backcracker by another man.
Yeah. Yeah,
we didn't spend
the money anymore
tonight. It was nasty. Nasty.
They're going to answer for that, bro. They're going to have to answer for us. Trust what I'm saying. I bit off more than I can chew. You know, I ain't going to lie. You know, they surprised me. You know, but they're just going to make me step up our game. You know what I mean? They're going to make us step up our game. Me and Shadow going to just, we're going to have to dig deep and step up our game because them boys is young and strong, man.
Well, hey, guys, I hate to change the subject, but I believe we have Glacier on the line. Is that you, Glacier?
Yeah, how you guys doing?
All right, how are you?
Good.
Hey, good. What up, Glacier?
Of course, a lot of people know you now as Ray Lloyd. And just a week or two ago, I noticed WWE posted a Where Are They Now thing about you. And then I see you're doing a show 2 weeks later. So is that kind of, were you planning on getting back into wrestling again when that happened, or is that just coincidence?
Well, you know, I never really left. I mean, I've always been involved in wrestling. And last year was probably the first year that I actually slowed down a little bit just because I had so much other stuff going on. I just, and just wasn't able to, to take a lot of bookings. So, which is a good thing. But, wrestling is what's in my blood. Come this April, it'll be 25 years for me in the business. And, and it's been 25 great years. It really has. I mean, for the most part, I've had an unbelievable run as far as where I've been able to go, what I've been able to do as far as a wrestler. But I kind of started missing it. And I was like, you know what? Around the end of the year, I just kind of started putting some feelers back out there about, who was running and just kind of let it be known that that I was looking to maybe get back in the mix a little bit. And luckily, they were, of course, run the show this Saturday in Cordele. And people who may have followed my career probably know that. I mean, I actually, went to college in Valdosta to graduate from Valdosta State. And at the time I graduated, one of my best friends that I played college ball with, a guy named R.D. Swain, we broke in as a tag team called the Blazers. And, not long after we broke in, literally within that same first year, we ended up, Ben Masters was running Cordele, and Peach State Wrestling was about probably the best independent promotion around at that time. And we were lucky enough to get in and made a nice little spot for ourselves there. And it was just an awesome, awesome learning experience for us because that was 87, and it was really in that last tail end of the territories. And we really got to experience that, and it was really cool. And I think that's such a shame that it's really not around anymore. The young guys really, really, could benefit from that. And because it's a learning system there. And we were so fortunate that guys like, Wrestling Number Two, Ted Oates, just guys of that caliber were on every show. And we wrestled a lot. We wrestled just about, not only every weekend, but sometimes, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and it was a great opportunity for us to really learn from some of the veterans who had really kind of paved the way, so to speak. This is a huge homecoming for me coming back to Cordele.
Right, and this is for Georgia Championship Wrestling, and you're putting on the Glacier costume again, and taking on Jake Slater, and I believe that's the main event, right?
Yeah, as far as I know, that's what I've been told. So, so Jake better get ready.
You guys are the biggest pictures on the poster, so I think that's pretty good.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was just sharing with someone today, which for me is going to be a really special show for me for a lot of reasons. But, anybody that grew up in, the late 70s, era watching Georgia Championship Wrestling, of course, Tommy Rich was, one of the hottest tickets, going at that time. And Tommy really, really, stepped out and helped me a lot early on in my career. And anybody, once again, that's followed my career at all knows that up until, really, until the days of Glacier, I was known as Sugar Ray Lloyd throughout the Southeast. And Tommy's the one that gave me that name. And it's just, I can't tell you how cool of a feeling it is to think, way back when, how far I've come in the business and to be able to really kind of, share kind of equal billing with Tommy, on a show like this, and I saw the poster on, I think it was on Facebook. I just, I just thought, wow, man, that's really, really kind of cool because, Tommy's definitely, he's been around, seen it all, done it all. He's definitely a character, but he did a lot to help me, just like, some other great names in the business, and I owe him a lot for that. I actually sat down and wrote him a note around Thanksgiving, totally out of the blue, and just thanking him for everything he did for me early on in my career. He really went to bat for me, you know, with the NWA, and then of course later with WCW back in the day. And you know, like I said, I he did a lot for me, and I've never forgotten that. So it's going to be good to see him. I haven't seen him in a while, and it's just going to be good to be in Cordell, because when I was in college, my dad became state post commander of the state patrol there in Cordell. So my parents moved to Cordell. So, you know, I've got some real, you know, some personal ties to the city of Cordell, and it's always been a great wrestling town. And so I really expect this to be a really good show from top to bottom.
All right. Well, you talked a lot about your, you know, your early days and all that. How did that prepare you, and how did you end up being part of World Championship Wrestling? I mean, I've heard the story about how you got the Mortal Kombat style gimmick that Eric Bischoff wanted to try to make that kind of a faction, but how did you actually get your foot in the door with WCW?
You know what? One of my best friends to this day, I was actually just talking to him earlier, is Diamond Dallas Page. And Page, you know, a lot of people hear stories about Page about, you know, he helped a lot of guys in the business. Well, that's true, he did. I mean, Page helped me an awful lot. And I was coming through that period where, you know, I'd moved to Atlanta and I was really trying to pursue this full time. I was teaching school and wrestling on the weekends and all my summer breaks and everything. And, you know, of course, I started going back and forth to Japan and wrestling with UWFI. That's where I really got to become really close to Luthes. And I'm just amazed at this point in my life. I'm amazed sometimes, you know, when I go on the independent circuit and I ask, you know, younger wrestlers, you know, I asked them if they know who Luthes is, and they don't know who Luthes is, and that's really disappointing, you know, because he's arguably one of, if not the greatest wrestler that ever laced up a pair of boots. And, you know, youngest world champion ever, you know, six-time world champion. I mean, the guy was the real deal. And so to be able to learn from him was a huge, huge feather in my cap. And so we remained close, and he actually, it was funny, he really actually got me really on that path of being more like a trunks and boots type guy, a real traditional guy. But of course, you know, I studied martial arts since I was a kid, and that was a big passion of mine as well. But I just never really tried to put it into, you know, my matches in the States. I did a lot in Japan, and it was real successful for me. So when I came back out, you know, it was about in the 93, you know, I was living in Marietta. I started going to Lexington's gym, and, you know, of course, got to know Paige and all the other guys. And Paige and I were actually Christmas shopping in the mall in Atlanta a couple days before Christmas, and we sat down to eat lunch, and I just, out of the blue, I said to him, I said, Paige, I'm really thinking about incorporating a lot of, you know, martial arts into my, you know, into my matches now, finally. And he was like, oh, man, that'd be great if you knew some of that stuff. He didn't say stuff. He said another word, but I won't say it on here. And I said, well, Paige, I do. I said, I've been doing it since I was 14 years old, man. I said, I just don't, you know, I don't advertise it. I mean, I'm not one of those guys that does it. And, of course, he told me, you know, that Eric was all into that, which I'd kind of heard that, but, I never really thought there would be any correlation there. And so I gave him some information on it. He said, let me go to Eric with this. I mean, let me see what he says. And, of course, I didn't know, Paige didn't know, whatever, but this is something that already, a seed that had been planted in Eric's head by the people at Turner, because they basically had the idea of, you know, the Mortal Kombat theme was such a popular thing that they wanted to capitalize on it, you know. And, you know, anything in wrestling, I mean, anybody who follows wrestling knows that whatever's hot in society typically trickles down into the wrestling business in an angle somehow eventually. So anyway, he set up a meeting after the holidays. It was first week of January. I mean, we didn't waste any time, and I actually went to dinner with Eric, and I sat down with him, and literally for like 3 hours, almost 3 hours, we sat there, and he grilled me on questions about my background in martial arts and, I mean, everything under the sun, you know, wrestling, what I've done, and da, 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 da. And at the end of the conversation, he said to me, he said, are you still wrestling on the independent wrestling thing? And I said, yes, I am. He said, well, I want to sign you to a contract, and I want to pay you to disappear off the independent wrestling scene. And I looked right at him, and I said, I paused, and I said, I can do that. And that's how it started. I mean, he never saw me, never saw a tape of me, never saw me wrestle. But for, I don't know, whatever, in that 3 hours, convinced him that I was, you know, worth taking a risk, you know, on. And of course, you know, I mean, at that point, we had no idea where it would really go. We had a small ounce of an idea of where he wanted to go with it, and we started running with it from there. But I did. I mean, I actually was fitness director of a country club at the time, and I actually, he said, I don't even want you to quit your job. I just want you to cancel all your bookings and just disappear from wrestling. And so the next 5 months, that's basically what I did. And then we started, of course, you know, meetings, and then, of course, Canyon came on board, and then Brian Clark, and then eventually Ernest Miller, and we, it was real secretive, which is really cool, because, you know, right then it was around, you know, early 96, so, you know, the internet was still in the infant stages, so, you know, it was a lot easier to keep a secret back then, and so that's how it started, and it was, I can tell you honestly, it was one of the best roller coaster rides I could have ever possibly went on, I can tell you, and for the most part, it was an unbelievably great, positive experience, and, you know, and you know, as I said, when the WWE interview, they were like, well, you know, did it all pan out the way you thought? And I was like, oh, but, you know, I mean, whose career ever does pan out exactly like you think it's going to? And, but you know, I mean, I had a, the one thing I always tell people is, and, you know, I surround myself with guys that are real positive. Mark Merrow and Dallas Page are two of my best friends, not just from the wrestling business. And those guys are both extremely positive guys. And I always tell people, you know, I mean, I was there for 5 years. I signed a contract and was there for 5 years, literally up until, you know, I got cut loose like right before we got bought out by Vince. And the thing is that, you know, I was an active member of that roster all 5 years. You know, and the thing is, you know, that at that period, especially around that 97, you know, 98 year period, I mean, it was arguably one of, if not the best rosters of active wrestlers ever. And I was an active member of that roster, and I held my own every single night, you know, and I was very proud of that. But I was also having the time of my life, you know? So, and people always go, yeah, you always have people like critics. I mean, I have people that think Glacier was a god awful worst gimmick in the world, and I have people who think it was such an unbelievable thing. And you know, we had to deal with, you know, not long after I debuted and Canyon debuted, you know, NWO was born, and that changed wrestling forever. So, you know, everything took a backseat to that. So, you know, so we're fighting for our lives every single day going to work. But I wouldn't have had it any other way. I mean, that to me, that's what made it worth going to work was that, you know, we knew we had to bring it every single night, you know, and that was a lot of fun. It really was. A lot of pressure, but a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, after this Saturday show, do you have any other shows scheduled in the near future?
I'm booked in Mobile, Alabama, I think on the 23rd, and then I'm looking to do some other stuff, you know, as the months come in. I mean, I'm actually, you know, I live in Orlando now, and I've kind of been out of the loop here, so I talked to Larry Zbyszko, lives in my neighborhood, so I'm talking to Larry, and how cool is that, you know, Larry Zbyszko lives in my neighborhood. Yeah, so me and Larry just, you know, I've become really good friends with Larry. Whenever we travel a lot, sometimes I still just like look over and I'm like, come ride down the road with Larry Zbyszko. So I've kind of been out of the loop in Florida, so I'm trying to kind of figure out, you know, who's booking and where the shows are and stuff like that. I'm still doing a good bit of acting. I just actually landed a role in another film that's going to be shot here in Orlando. I'm shooting my scenes on the 17th and 18th, which is I'll play a boxer and. A really good role where I have a really, really good, you know, underground boxing scene with the hero of the film. So I got that going on and I'm staying busy, man. Staying busy.
What's the name of that movie?
It's going to be called, it's called Nick the Brick, but it's, there's one of the top five film schools in the world is here in Orlando called Full Sail University. And the senior students have film projects that they do that are, you know, full blown, you know, 16mm full blown, you know, film projects, and they have the best equipment in the world to work with. It's something that, and I actually used to work at Full Sail, and, you know, and so I know that, I mean, you know, some of the, you know, the next 10 years, the directors that are going to be making the, you know, the hit movies out there are probably going to come from Full Sail. You know, they just had one of the guys who just won the Oscar for Inception for, you know, mixing the sound for that, you know, come out of Full Sail. So, I mean, but yeah, so it's, um, it's, student film, but not like a typical student film. I mean, this is, like I said, this is done better than most projects would be able to be done, because they have the best equipment, the best facilities. They're the only university in the entire world that actually has a full-blown backlot to film on. If you've ever been to Universal Studios, you know, the theme park, you've seen their backlot. This one was built by the same architects that designed that. So, you can be looking at one side of the backlot and it looks like you're in New England, and turn around and look at the other side and it looks like you're, you know, in London somewhere. So, I mean, it's really cool to be able to, you know, utilize all of what they have to work with to shoot a film. So yeah, it's, and I tell you, I really wonder why more guys, you know, wrestling guys are not getting into acting. I mean, it's a natural transition for me. And, the money's great and you don't have to take near as many bumps.
Crew Jones does acting. He's one of the guys that's doing a lot of acting and stuff.
Yeah, Crew's staying busy. You know, you got to hustle. It's like you know, in the wrestling business. I mean, you know, they're not going to come bang on your door and look for you. I mean, you got to get out and you got to hustle. But you know, anything worthwhile, there's no shortcut. You got to get out and hustle to do it. You know, so that's the one thing I think. Today, you know, I'd love to help younger wrestlers coming up, because, you know, I was so blessed and so fortunate that a lot of guys helped me who didn't have to help me. So I feel like it's something that not only I should do, that I really want to do, to help younger wrestlers. But I'm amazed at how many of them, they get trained. Also, you know, they think training to be a wrestler is like getting a driver's license. You know, you take a test and that's it, you know, and it's anything but that. Like I said, I mean, you know, 25 years in April for me, and I still look forward to how much more I can learn about this business. You know, so it's like I tell any young wrestler, I can talk to them for 2 minutes and tell if they're serious about pursuing this or not. And there's just a certain look in their eye. You know, there's a certain look that you have when you really, really want to do this. And when you don't have it, you can say all the lip service in the world, but if you don't have that light in your eye, then it really means nothing. You're just fooling yourself. You know, and in this business, you got to love it, because it's the kind of business that's going to break your heart over and over. And I don't mean that bad. It's just that's the nature of this business. And if you don't love it for the right reason.
I know that, Ray. Ray, I know that. It's
just one of those businesses, you know. I always tell people, you know, it's okay to want the fame and the fortune. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, you can't want that first. That can't be what drives you, because – if that's what drives you and it doesn't happen, then you're just going to end up being another old bitter wrestler. And the world doesn't need any more bitter wrestlers. We've had enough of them.
Well, hey, we have a caller. I don't know if this is someone that might have a question for you, Glacier, but let's bring him on the line.
Okay.
Hey, who do we have on the line?
This would be Brian Harrison.
Hey,
oh,
brother,
hey.
What's up?
Hey, brother.
What's going on, man?
Yeah, we were...
Not much. I was on here a little bit earlier than I'm telling how much of a great inspiration you were to me, and the whole time that from the time we first met to the time I got into the business, all throughout the business, you know, you were one of the greatest inspirations, became one of my best friends. You know, I just can't tell you thank you enough.
Well, I'll tell you, Brian, I mean, yeah, to those guys that don't know, Brian and I have been friends for a long time, and when he told me he wanted to get in the wrestling business, I did everything in the world to try to talk him out of it. And I tell you what, I mean, he's done exceptionally well. He really has. I mean, he's one of those guys that I can really proudly say has been a good friend, but also someone I helped, achieve a goal of stepping in the ring and being, you know, being a wrestler and doing this, on a regular basis. He's you're an inspiration to a lot of people too, Brian. So don't be so humble.
I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I told you from day one when I got into this business, I didn't care if you had to kick my rear every day, push me. And you did, you know, and it made me a better person, not so much in the ring as more of a better person outside of the ring, because it gave me a chance to live a dream. And, you know, I can't say thank you enough. I mean, I owe you.
Well, bro, I appreciate it, man. It means a lot to me. It means an awful lot to me. But, you know, that's the one thing, that most people learn when they get into this business, if you stay in it long enough and you do it right, is, you know, the other stuff you deal with in the real world all of a sudden doesn't seem like it's that bad, because you know, it's a tough business. I don't care what level it is. I mean, it's tough, and you know, you can get discouraged real easy, and you know, you gotta stay positive because it'll beat you down if you let it. You know, but that's not just wrestling. That's anything that's worth pursuing. You know, like it's the same in the acting business. It's the same in any other sport. You know, when you're trying to make it at the top level, I mean, it's, you know, there's only a certain few that get to, you know, that I always consider a privilege to be a wrestler, you know, because I get to go out there and do something that I know a lot of other people would dream of doing, you know, and for whatever reason, they don't do it. And some of them, they're just scared to chase the dream. And I hate that for people who are scared to chase the dream, because I was scared of that. I'm still scared of that. I can tell you right now, I'm scared to death every time before my match. I mean, I don't care if it's in front of 10 people or 20,000. I mean, I literally feel like I got to puke up until the moment I go out there. But the great thing about it is, as soon as I walk out in front of that crowd and I realize that crowd's on my side, then I feel like I'm at home, you know, and that's when it becomes fun, you know. But that's always tough, people. You know, if you don't really get nervous about this, and in my mind, it just means you don't care. If how can you not get nervous, you know, getting jacked up before a match, you know, I mean, it's just – you know, if you don't care about what you're doing, there's probably some guys that don't care when they go out there, but that's never going to be me. You know, I'm going to give. And it's one of the things that I try to, you know, really instill in younger wrestlers is why it's so important to go out there and give 100% every single night. I don't care where you're wrestling. I don't care for how big or small the crowd is. And this is something Dusty Rhodes told me a long time ago, and I've never forgotten it, is because Dusty was my other mentor outside of Lou, was that those people deserve your best every single night. And if there's only a small crowd there, then they shouldn't get punished because the place isn't sold out, because they did their part. They got in the car, they drove to the building, they spent their money, they bought their ticket, they're sitting there, and they've done their part. So you, as a professional, you have to give them your best. And if you don't give them your best, then you're not being a professional. And that's just how it is, you know? And that's one of the things I can proudly say. I can probably say, and I'll say it to the day I die, that I've never, ever once gone out there and phoned in a match, ever. And I never will. I mean, if I get booked to wrestle somewhere, and that's one of the first things I tell a promoter that I never worked for before, I tell them, you know, certain things you can count on. One, not only will I show up, I'll show up on time, which means I'll be early. And two, I won't hold you up for money once I get there, like a lot of guys do. And three, you will get my absolute best when I'm working for you. No exceptions. And, you know, that's just me. And, you know, I've told people all the time, you know, I challenge you to go find a match with me on tape somewhere where I dogged in a match. Because I know there's not one out there. And that's something I'm extremely proud of.
Well, hey, we need to wrap things up, but I want to thank you, Glacier, and thank you as well, Brian, for calling. Glacier, do you have a website or anything else, on Facebook or Twitter, where people can find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook. You know, just put in, you know, Ray Lloyd Orlando, Florida. It should pop up. And, you know, I've got a fan page. It's Ray Lloyd Glacier. And, but I actually do have a website coming out that it will actually be showcase my stuff for acting and for wrestling. And but I haven't gotten it done yet. So I'll have to forward you guys that information as soon as it gets finished. But I appreciate you guys having me on. And I hope everybody that's listening to this, if you can come to Cordial Saturday night, please do. I think it's going to be an unbelievable show, and it's going to be really nice to be back in Cordial.
All right. Well, thanks again. I don't know. Did you guys have any quick questions before we let him go?
I think he covered it all.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you letting me have time to come on. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
You too. All right. Well, I guess we should wrap it up, but before we do, Nemesis, how you doing?
I'm all right, bro.
You got Guerrilla Radio coming up in a couple of weeks. And we got, I don't know, do we need to talk about anything? Or do you want to say anything about that?
I'll talk about it next week.
Next week? All right.
Hey, before we go, could I ask when and where Guerrilla Radio will debut?
Blog Talk Radio/Guerrilla Radio. It's going to be a link up soon.
Okay, great.
Yes.
All right, well, we have next week, it'll be all about the Ted Allen Memorial Show. We'll have Jimmy Rave and Big Wood on as our guests. I want to remind everyone that...
Let me ask you something real quick. Our show will be after they do their show, right?
No, we're doing our show February 6th, and the Ted Allen Memorial is the Saturday after that.
Oh, okay. All right.
So it's, the 11th. Same night as Anarchy and a few other shows going on that same night.
Yeah. I was going to try to go down there, but I'm going to be at Anarchy. I gotta get revenge.
That business is in.
All right, well, I want to remind everyone that GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com's news and notes section can now be found at GWHNews.com. And Larry Goodman, would you like to remind everyone about the other Georgia Wrestling History Radio Network shows?
Wednesday night, Ringside Rap, Rich Tate, Mike Semper, VV, and Les Thatcher. Thursday nights, Peach State Pandemonium, with Mike Norris, Jerry Oates, and Bobby Simmons. And every once in a while on a Sunday, the next one will be February 12th, OVW Overview with Trent Van Dries, Muhammad Ali Vaez, and myself.
And, of course, Friday nights is Midnight Black Mass with Reverend Dan Wilson. I think that's pretty much it. So I thank you guys. Thanks, Larry, for being part of the show.
Thanks, Larry.
Yeah, thanks for letting me on.
Thanks, Nemesis, for being part of the show.
Yeah.
And thank you, Matt, for being part of the show.
As always.
All right, we will be back next week.
Jonathan.
Yes, sir.
I would like to thank you for being part of the show, too.
Oh, Nemesis. I'm
flattered. This shit. You drive this shit. You're right.
Well, I couldn't do it without you, Nemesis.
I couldn't do it without you, baby boy.
It's y'all sweet.
All right. Well, we will talk more about Guerrilla Radio next week. And until then, have a good week and go to some wrestling matches.
Listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.